الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أولياؤه إلا المتقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The next point is that everyone has two enemies on this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this path of coming closer to Allah, becoming the beloved of Allah, following in the footsteps of the righteous. On this path, every one of us, we have two enemies. One is Shaitan, and the second is our nafs. Shaitan is our outer enemy, and nafs is our inner enemy. About Shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran that Shaitan is our enemy, and we should take him as our enemy. Uduwwun mubeen, he's your open, manifest enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. So you should keep him like an enemy. Don't follow him. Don't trust him. Don't listen to him. Because eventually, he is your enemy. He will come as your well-wisher, but he is not your well-wisher. He will always betray you. He will take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what does this mean? It means that when Shaitan is our enemy, that we will not be able to realize, sometimes he will come to us in the form of our friend, as our well-wisher, as our advisor. So don't think that when Allah says that he's an open enemy, that he will openly manifest his enmity towards you. No, he is always going to be our enemy. He is our die-hard enemy. And what he wants, what he wants is that he wants to take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are two things about Shaitan, two statements of Shaitan. Number one, he does not accept any bribe. You can't bribe him. And second, his goal is to spoil our iman. His goal, his objective is to spoil our iman. And that is why he makes a very long-term planning. He doesn't tell you what eventually he wants to do. Initially, he will just tell you that just do this, this is not an issue. And when you start moving in that direction, then he will take you to a point when you will end up committing a sin. And then he will engulf you in the darkness of that sin. Shaitan, he has only one goal, and that is to betray us. He will never, is not our well-wisher, just has one goal, that he wants to take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not sleep, does not eat food, he's not tired. It's not a problem for him to go from one place to another. He's always behind us to take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we cannot see him, but he can see us. 24 hours he is behind us, always. He is our enemy. And don't just think that Shaitan wants to take away our amal, our good deeds. He's He's a thief, and he wants to steal our very iman, and he does not give up on any moment. So imagine if Shaitan is the thief, and he's the thief of not just actions, he's the thief of the iman of a person. So he's not going towards those people who don't have iman. All of his efforts are directed at those human beings who have iman. So now we should think like that, that Shaitan is there. He's not some made-up figure. He's present. There's a being there, out there, who wants our iman, who wants to take out our iman. And he makes long-term planning. He takes us step by step. He doesn't let us see. He only lets us see the first step. You just do this once. Try it once. Do it one more time. Do this one last time. He just makes us see the first step. But he has planned out the whole journey in his mind. And as you know, that Shaitan has been given certain powers by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he never tires, never becomes tired. So that's why he never sleeps. He never becomes hungry. That's why he never needs to eat. And he's not bound by location. He can be anywhere at any time that he wants. And he's also entirely invisible to us. Each and every one of us, right? He is entirely invisible to us. And each and every one of us are always visible to him. Allahu Akbar. Imagine a being like that, that you can't see him, but he can see you all the time. That is this enemy. Such are the powers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given Shaitan, has given Allah Ta'ala has given Shaitan. And then what does he do? He can do waswasa on us. Waswasa. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other side, from all of this, Allah Ta'ala gave us Himself. So what do we have to protect and defend ourselves against Shaitan? We have Allah Ta'ala. That being, right? Allah Ta'ala gave us Himself. So Shaitan is our enemy. And we always should remember that, number one, and always we should be on the watch for that. How Shaitan might trick us. So we need to set our defenses against him. Now we've already given certain examples of that before. Actually, before that, one example that how does Shaitan do his long-term planning? In the books, it's mentioned the story about a Sahabi by the name of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. That once he was busy in jihad and he was tired. And he was so tired that he went to sleep. And it was a deep sleep, so he couldn't wake up for the tahajjud in the last one third of the night. And he only woke up for fajr. And he was sad about missing his tahajjud, that he couldn't wake up for tahajjud. So he cried, and he cried to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, I wanted to pray, but I was so tired because of the day that I slept and was a deep sleep. And I missed my tahajjud. So in one sense, it wasn't his fault. Next day, he made it up. He prayed tahajjud later. Khair, a few months passed by and the same thing happened. But this time, someone came and woke him up. And this time he was also tired. He slept. It was a very deep sleep. But this time, someone came and woke him up at the time of tahajjud, told him to get up, go pray tahajjud. And he was so happy that someone woke me up. So he asked him that, "Are you some angel that you're waking me up for tahajjud?" And that creature, that being, replied and said, "No, oh, no, I'm Shaitan." Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an was surprised that if you are Shaitan, then you don't normally wake people up for tahajjud. You're not a well-wisher. So Shaitan said that, "I'm still not a well-wisher, but I woke you up only because when the last time you missed your tahajjud, you cried so much to Allah Ta'ala, so much that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala was so happy with you that He gave you the reward of years of tahajjud just for your crying, just for that remorse and repentance and that guilt that you had. Allah Ta'ala loved that and gave you the reward of years of tahajjud. And today you were again sleeping and you had this deep sleep and you were bound to miss your tahajjud again. So I thought that if you miss tahajjud again, and then again if you cry, then again Allah will give you so much reward. You will get years of tahajjud reward. So it's actually better if I wake you up, because then you will only get the reward of one tahajjud. So I'm still a bad wisher. I'm still not a well-wisher for you." So this is who Shaitan is. And that's why we need to put our defenses against Shaitan. So we have given several examples of that already. So for example, one point was to be in a state of wudu all the time, because being in a state of wudu helps one repel those whispers and wasawis of Shaitan. We mentioned that we should have a habit of reciting Masnoon Du'as every day, because Masnoon Du'as also protect us from Shaitan. When you enter the house, recite the Masnoon Du'a, and then Shaitan will not be able to come inside that home. When you eat food, eat with the Masnoon Du'a, and then Shaitan will not be able to eat with you. So doing Zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was another point that we mentioned. Because when Shaitan wants to attack an individual, he first looks at the heart. And if he finds that the heart is ghafil, heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he can attack. And on the other hand, if the heart is busy in the remembrance of Allah, it's occupied with the remembrance of Allah, then Shaitan backs off. Then Shaitan, he backs off, he's not able to put waswasa in the heart. This is a principle that whenever a person wants to overpower the enemy, first thing they do is that they take away the weapon. In a similar way, Shaitan, when he wants to attack a person, the first thing he does is that he takes away their remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, tries to make them heedless of Allah Ta'ala. That's why in Quran Allah Ta'ala mentions about Shaitan that istahwaza alayhimu shaitanu, that when Shaitan becomes ghalib upon them, when Shaitan attacks someone, fa'ansahum zikr Allah, Shaitan makes them forget the zikr, the remembrance of Allah. So that's Shaitan's first tactic, that he takes away the weapon of the believer. So we realize that zikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually a weapon against Shaitan, the attack of Shaitan. If we have the zikr in our heart, remembrance of Allah, then one can protect themselves. This is a defense. We're setting up a defense against him. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that inna alladhina taqaw iza massahum ta'ifum min ash-shaytan, that the muttaqi people, the people of taqwa, are those that when Shaitan tries to insinuate and put a waswasa, tries to attack them, what do? Tazakkaru. Immediately they engage in the zikr and the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Fa'iza hum mubsirun, and hence they're able to save themselves from Shaitan. So when we say that you should have enmity towards Shaitan, what does that mean? Simply just having hatred and hostility won't take you anywhere. Enmity means that you need to protect yourself against Shaitan. You need to set up your defenses against Shaitan. That's what it means to view someone as your enemy, to set your defenses against him. So these are all our defenses. That you are in a state of wudu, that's one defense. You have a habit of reciting masnoon du'as, that's the second defense. You have a habit of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day, third defense. Even, I would say, you're happily married. That's also a defense against shaitan. Because one tactic of shaitan is that he tries to pull apart marriages, to break down marriages. That's one of the strategies and tactics of shaitan, that he wants to cause separation between servant and their lord. And he also, that's one type of separation that he likes. And he also wants to cause a separation between husband and wife. So there's a very famous hadith which mentions that when the minion shayateen, they came to shaitan and shaitan was sitting on his throne. And these minion shayateen came and said that we did this and we made this person commit this sin. And shaitan said that, okay, it's okay. And then someone said, I made this person commit another sin. And shaitan said, okay. And then there's one person, one minion who came and said that I caused separation between husband and wife. And shaitan called that and said that you are my friend. And you are the champion. This is what I wanted. So the defense against shaitan would be that one has a happy marriage, to be happily married, to be overlooking, to be forgiving, not to weaken this relationship. And for that, another defense to set up against shaitan is to control anger. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that anger comes from shaitan. So whenever a person becomes angry, one of the things we're supposed to recite is precisely that A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, that I seek refuge in Allah from this accursed shaitan. To let go of that anger, to cool down, to recite this ta'awudh, or la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or any type of zikr, to let go of that anger. Because anger also comes from shaitan. Shaitan uses anger as a tool, as a weapon, to then make a person commit sin. So these are all points that we discussed before, and these are things that help us set our defenses against shaitan. Then the second enemy is our nafs. And what does our nafs want? Our nafs, it doesn't want to destroy our iman. Nafs is not there to steal our iman. That's not what the nafs wants. Nafs wants only one thing, and that is enjoyment. Nafs wants to enjoy. And nafs is that part of ourselves that just likes to enjoy. Sometimes it enjoys through lust. Sometimes it enjoys through materialism. Sometimes it enjoys through misdirecting the gaze. It just wants to enjoy. It wants to enjoy. And relatively speaking, you know, the effect of shaitan is very little, but the effect of the nafs is much greater. And in 90% or maybe 90 plus percent of sins are due to our nafs. And 10 or maybe less percent of sins are due to shaitan. And, you know, one of the most devastating situations that can happen to a believer is when shaitan and nafs, they join forces. Tag team partners. This can also happen. When nafs and shaitan, they get together, you know, nafs is a double agent for shaitan. Then a person is in really tough situation, really difficult situation. So first question here is that how can we tell the difference between shaitan and the nafs? And then how can we save ourselves from shaitan and the nafs? So first, we've already mentioned Let's begin with shaitan. The way to save ourselves from shaitan is to make zikr of Allah Ta'ala, because shaitan makes us forget the zikr of Allah. Shaitan removes your shield. As long as you have the shield, then he cannot attack you. So simply then, the way to protect ourselves against shaitan is to do more and more zikr of Allah. And to do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. To always be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for nafs, there is no one act. I mean, like for shaitan, you could say one act, zikr. One amal. But for nafs, there is no one single deed like that that can make us immune to the nafs. For the nafs, you have to make, you just have to, you must simply resist your nafs. For nafs, you just simply have to hold yourself back from giving in to your nafs. You must simply not execute what the nafs wants you to do. You must simply refuse to do what the nafs wants you to do. That's the only cure against the nafs. So protection against shaitan can come in the form of zikr. But the protection against nafs is that you must simply resist. You must resist the nafs, because the nafs has desires. So for example, the nafs might want you to get involved in romance and lust. The nafs might want you to get involved in the dunya, in the world. You simply have to resist. And we see then that this is resisting the nafs is called mujahidatun nafs, doing mujahida against the nafs. So we need the zikr part to defend ourselves against shaitan. And we also need to hold ourselves back from giving into the desires of the nafs. Mujahida against the nafs. We need to do that as well. We need both these things, zikr part and mujahida against the nafs. Because if you're only doing the zikr part, and if you keep indulging your nafs, then the zikr may not directly help you. It might have an indirect effect, because zikr will put in your heart the feelings of love for Allah Ta'ala and the feeling of the fear of Allah Subhanahu Ta'ala. And then the Quran, Allah mentions, فَأَمَّا خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى نَفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, that whoever fears the maqam, the rank of the Lord, وَنَهَى نَفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, so the person who fears being presented in front of their love, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will be able to stop their nafs from acting. To feel more fear of Allah ta'ala. So, to protect yourself from shaitan, feel more remembrance of Allah ta'ala. To protect ourselves from nafs, feel more fear of Allah Ta'ala. And you need both of these things. Feelings of the zikr of Allah, feelings of the fear of Allah. We need both. Then if a person wants to know what is the difference between shaitan and nafs. So in fact, we can tell this quite easily. If a person gets a thought of sin and they resist it, and then again, they get an urge, but for a different type of sin. And then again, they resist it. And then sometimes they get another urge for yet a different type of sin. And again, they resist it. This is a sign that this is shaitan. Because shaitan doesn't really care what sin you do. He just wants you to do any type of sin. Right? Shaitan just wants you to do a new sin. He just wants you, any type of sin, to repeat an old sin, to do a new sin, to lose some nafil, to lose a fard, to lose something good, to feel riya, to feel conceit, ujub. That's shaitan. The nafs, however, if you get a thought of a sin, And then you are able to save yourself. And then a few hours later, you get that same urge. And again, you save yourself. And then again, you get this. So it's repeating. That's the sign that this is nafs. Because nafs has a particular desire. And once it gets that desire, it doesn't let go of that desire. So that is a sign that it is our nafs. So if you want to stay away from the first type of thought and sin, which is coming from shaitan, do zikr. If you want to stay away from the second, any the recurrent, repeat thought of sin, then for that we need the more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simply do mujahida against the nafs. More and more mujahida against the nafs. And we should also remember that which part of the nafs are we talking about here? This is nafs-e ammara. Any the nafs that we have to take out, the nafs that is our enemy, we have to protect ourselves against, is nafs-e ammara. It's that part of our nafs that tries to command us, overpower us, and bring us into some feeling of sin. Take that part of our nafs as our enemy. Have enmity for that. And there are two things about the nafs, and we need both of them. Yani when we, what does it mean to set our defenses against the nafs? So shaitan were already done, right? Zikr and wudu and masnoon du'as. Now, what does it mean to set our defenses against the nafs? There are two things. One is called mujahidatun nafs, and the other is called mukhalafatun nafs. And we have to do both. Now, first is mujahidatun nafs. What does that mean? So it means that to make your nafs worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when your nafs does not want to worship Allah. This is called mujahida. Now, it's easy to worship Allah when we feel like it, right? If I feel like praying, that's easy. But what is difficult is that when you are lazy about something, then you have to drag yourself out of the bed, drag yourself to make wudu, drag yourself to be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, drag yourself to open the Quran, to read the Quran. This is called mujahida. Mujahida. That there's a resistance force, your nafs is resisting, but you're not giving in to the desire of nafs, you're still doing the opposite. Mujahida, it's not just effort, it's that effort which is being resisted by something else. So nafs is resisting, but you just overpower the nafs and you do what you want to do. You do that ibadah. And this is something that I think all of us are familiar with. Mujahida, we do this for the dunya all the time. Don't we do this for the dunya? How many times have we dragged ourselves out of the bed to go to work? How many times have we dragged ourselves out of the bed to go to school or university, college? We didn't really want to go, but we made ourselves go. We forced ourselves to go. How many times did we pull ourselves into a meeting? We didn't really want to be there, but we made ourselves there. That's called mujahida. That's called mujahida. So if you can do mujahida for the sake of the dunya, we should also make mujahida for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. That those who make this mujahida, this striving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they push themselves. They push themselves. So we're not saying push yourself beyond your ability or to push yourself beyond your physical strength. No, we're not saying that. But just push yourself. Explore. What is your range? Why don't you find out what your range is? Because, Allah says elsewhere, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah does not task a person beyond their ability. So a person says that Allah has given me certain ability. Let me explore this. Let me test this. What is the power that Allah Ta'ala has given me? Let me see how much I can do. Maybe I can also be up all night. Maybe I can also recite three juz of the Quran in one go. Maybe I can also pray 8 rakat of tahajjud. Let me push myself. Let me explore my ability. You know, we love to explore opportunities of lands and properties and real estate in the dunya. So why not explore the frontiers of our iman as well? So you push your iman. You start gently pushing, gently pushing. So our beginners, just gently push yourself. At least reach out a little bit. Actually, we are able to do more than what we think we can. Allah has given us the ability to do much, much more. And this is also Ramadan. Ramadan is the time to do more. This is called Mujahidatun Nafs, that you are pushing yourself to do more and more. And the second is Mukhalafatun Nafs. Means to stop our nafs. This is the enmity. That you not only need to push yourself and resist your nafs, but you also need to fight and stop our nafs. Mukhalifat. To nip the evil in the bud, to step on our nafs. So there was a Sheikh by Yazid Bustami, rahmatullah, and he once said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent ilham inspiration to me and said that Jannat requires only two steps. Jannat requires only two steps. To reach Jannat requires only two steps. Put one step on your nafs, the next step you will enter into Jannah. Left foot on your nafs, right foot will enter Jannah. Left foot on the nafs, right foot enter into Jannah. When you look at the deen, teaches, it's so kamil, such a beautiful deen. The deen is telling us which footstep to put first, right or left. And you enter the washroom, you enter the masjid. Such a kamil deen, such a beautiful deen. Enter the bank with your left foot first, leave the bank with your right foot first. We have to take it beyond. We know about the masjid and about the bathroom. This is a teaching for every single place. Enter your home. Enter with the right foot first. Leave your home. Leave with the left foot first. Every place that is khair, has goodness, wellness, enter with the right foot first. And leave that place of khair and goodness with the left foot first. And every place that is a place of fitna, najasa, impurity, sin, enter with the left foot first and then leave with the right foot. You want your shop to be khair, enter with the right foot first. So anyway, we have to stop our nafs from sinful desires, sinful feelings. And sometimes, and I'm going to mention this as well, sometimes it also means that you have to punish your nafs. Now, this is a bit more intense, and not every beginner might be ready for this. So, what does it mean to punish your nafs? So, for example, you know, I'm not going to eat my supper until I do tilawat of Quran. I'm not going to allow myself this glass of cold water because I got angry with someone earlier during the day. And every now and then, punish your nafs a little bit. A little bit. You know, we are willing to be strict with our children if they make a mistake. We'll say, no ice cream for you. No cold water for you. If we can do that with our children, Our nafs is much more criminal than the child. The child is young. The child is innocent. 5 years old, 7 years old, 10 years old. We are 30 years old. We are 40 years old, 50, 60 year old. So sometimes, if you can do this with the child, we also need to be strict with our own nafs as well. Discipline your nafs. Reprimand your nafs. This is called mukhalifatun nafs. It's a bit more intense. When you feel able to do it, then do it. And you don't go to some extreme. Right? Don't take a qasam that you won't be able to fulfill. Right? Some people in their passion, they take an oath that I swear I will do X, Y, Z. Every time I fail to lower my gaze and then I get stuck, right? Not like that. Just punish yourself a little bit. And when you, and maybe even punish is maybe a strong word, and you reprimand yourself, discipline yourself. This is called mukhalifatun nafs. And this is also something that is really helpful on this path. So, to protect ourselves from shaitan, we make a zikr. And protection from shaitan is easy. That's why we should all the time make zikr of Allah Ta'ala so that there's no bad thought in our mind. Nafs, the remedy for nafs is just to resist the nafs, no other remedy. Next time you get a bad thought from the nafs, just resist it. Don't execute it. On the day of judgment, in the Quran, Allah mentions that there will be a person when he will see his sin, will say that, "Ya Allah, I did not commit this sin. Shaitan made me commit this." And then Shaitan will say that, "Allah, he committed this sin himself. I just put a thought in his mind. When he did it, it was his choice." So even on the day of judgment, Shaitan will say that it was his fault. I just put the waswas. And if that is the case, then why do we follow Shaitan? And then Allah Ta'ala will say, "Okay, don't fight in front of me. Don't make arguments in front of me." Allah Ta'ala will say, "Don't blame the Shaitan and don't blame the person. You both were disobedient to me. Shaitan put the bad thought in the mind, and then nafs, he made us execute that bad thought." So having enmity against nafs and Shaitan. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us that we can protect ourselves from the whisperings of nafs and shaitan. This is also the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan when Allah ta'ala has chained down the shayateen. And we should make dua to Allah ta'ala that He, Ya Allah, just like you have chained shayateen in this month, Allah grant us such a shaitan-free life. Let the whole year be shaitan free for us. And similarly, this is a month when we're doing, when a person does mujahida against their nafs. We leave food and drink and lawful relations. This is all in order to tame and discipline the nafs. The whole Ramadan is like a course, a training by which a person can control, tame this unruly nafs. So that when we end Ramadan, then we can use this nafs in a way, in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should ask Allah ta'ala that Allah grant us a nafs mutma'inna in this month. That nafs which becomes mutma'in on the deen. Now that we have realized that the nafs likes to enjoy, nafs wants to enjoy. So Ya Allah, grant us the enjoyment of deen. Let nafs take delight and enjoyment in worship, as opposed to sin and heat. listeners. So if we can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then truly Allah ta'ala is muzakkiye hakiki. Allah is that being, the ultimate being who can purify our nafs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide us to those actions, to those people, to those means by which then we can purify our nafs. This is a lifelong project to do tazkiyah of our nafs, but in special moments and days like Ramadan, months like Ramadan, one can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah ta'ala to decree this for us. The decree a life of purity. Decree Allah a life of nafs mutmainna in this month, by the barakah of this month. Allah decree a life for me where I can attain the zakiyah of my nafs. Allah decree a life for me where my heart is purified of these sinful feelings and thoughts, whether they're coming from nafs or from shaitan. So it's a month when the decrees can be made. It's a night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, the days, the ulama, they mention that all the way till the end of Ramadan, the decree, the destiny can be changed in this month. If a person, they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decree khair and goodness for us. So it's a time we should make duas to Allah ta'ala and then follow that dua up with effort, whatever efforts we're able to make, but at least not lose out on this opportunity of dua. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us a nafs mutma'inna. May Allah Ta'ala do tazakiyah of our nafs. May Allah Ta'ala save us from the temptations of nafs and shaitan. And it might be difficult for us, but nothing is difficult for Allah Ta'ala. Nothing is difficult for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Nothing is beyond the ability of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wills and wishes, then Allah Ta'ala can decree for us a life of such a pure and pristine life. Imam Rabbani, Mujaddid al-Fisani, Sheikh Ahmed Sirindi rahmatullah, he has mentioned that there are such pure souls in this world, such pure people who have lived in this world, that the angel responsible for writing the misdeeds, the bad deeds, did not write anything, no sin, for 20 years. 20 years would pass by, and that angel was not able to write anything. That's how pure their lives were. And this is the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give them tawfiq, then why shouldn't we also make dua to Allah and ask Allah that Allah grant us the same tawfiq as well, that we can also live such pure lives, such pristine lives, lives free of sin. There are people in our ummah who lived such pure lives. I was just mentioning this in another gathering, that one sheikh, he said, he made dua to Allah in the following words, that, O Allah, you know that I've spent 70 years of my life in such a way that I have no other thought in my heart other than you. I have no thought in my heart other than you. Allah, you know I've spent 70 years of my life in such a way that I had no thought in my heart other than you. And you imagine how pure their hearts would be, how pure their lives would be, that he's able to make this dua to Allah Ta'ala, not just random words. He's making Allah witness over those words that, Allah, you know my state, that I have. It's such a difficult statement to make. You're making this to Allah, making Allah witness over your words that, Allah, you know that I've spent 70 years of my life in such a way that there's no thought in my heart other than you. If we could be given even one such day, then we would be willing, that would be mission achieved. One such day where there are no thoughts of sins and we just have thoughts of Allah, or thoughts which are for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person would be willing to die that day. So these are lives, lives of purity. And this is the month of Ramadan where a person should attach themselves to Allah ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, plead Allah, beg Allah, that Allah decree for such, decree for us such a life of nafs mutmainna, such a life where we are protected, Allah, from shaitan. So may Allah Ta'ala accept these du'as intentions from all of us tonight. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.